Fibber McGee and Molly, customarily heard at this time, are on their summer vacation. Fibber McGee and Molly will return to the air in 4 weeks on Tuesday, September 19th.
Presenting Charles Boyer.
Hello, my dear. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, Michel. La
da da dee da da.
The National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting Mr. Charles Boyer as Michel. And who is Michel? Not an easy question to answer, for Michel is a great many people. Oh, he is only one man, indeed. But what a man! Capable of assuming a personality to fit any stratum of society in which he might find himself. Equally at home in the most aristocratic castle or in the murky smork of Montmartre. At ease with kings, delighted with queens, Michel at all times has a great asset and a great weakness. His asset, love for people. His weakness, an eternally empty pocketbook. And so that is Michel, who even at this moment scans the faces at a cafe near the Arc de Triomphe, looking for his friend, Bart Conway.
Oh, there you are, Michel. You're late. I was afraid you weren't going to join me for dinner tonight. Oh,
how could I allow myself to disappoint you, Mr. Conway? Besides, I could not allow you to disappoint my stomach.
Bear in mind, my friend, I have no intention of buying your dinner unless you give me a good story in return. Now, let's get down to the meat of the thing.
The meat? Oh, yes, yes. Shall we order?
The meat of your story. Oh. I want to know what I'm buying from you before I get stuck with a 20,000-franc check.
Very well. This is the story of my wife.
The story of your wife or your life?
Of my wife. W-I-F-E.
I never knew you were married.
I never was. That's what makes the story so interesting. I call it the lady in question.
Lady in question?
Yeah, she was in question in more ways than one. It seemed that the entire Paris police wanted to question her.
Whatever for?
Now, let me see. The tournadoes of beef must be very good tonight.
Go ahead, order them. Order the whole blame menu.
Oh, and champagne?
You may clear out the entire wine cellar, but tell me the story.
Well, it started in the mildest of all entertainment, a newsreel theater.
And so, as it must to all men, fame and fortune comes to Wilfred Bill Groton of the Bronx, New York, lucky winner of the Irish sweepstakes. Mr. Bill Groton, what do you intend to do now that you are the wealthiest man in the Bronx?
I'm going to take a trip to Brooklyn.
As I was slumping comfortably in my chair, preparing to doze off during the travelogue, I suddenly realized that the vacant seat next to me was no longer vacant. It was pleasantly filled with a tailored tweed suit of American make, which in turn was pleasantly filled by a tailored feminine figure, also of American make.
Come with us, friends, aboard this little Norwegian fishing boat for a journey through the sun-drenched fjords of Norway.
But I was much more interested in watching the young lady at my side than in watching the fjords go by. In the unsteady light from the picture screen, her face looked white with terror. Her eyes stared straight ahead, as if hypnotized, and her hands clenched tightly the arms of her seat.
Turn around. Look down the aisle.
Yes?
Is there anybody there?
No, the theater is almost empty.
Oh, they're following me. I've got to get away from them. They're following me.
Now, be calm, my dear lady. There is no one following you.
Yes, there is. I just slipped in the theater to get away from them, but they'll find me.
And at dawn each morning, these picturesque fishing smacks slip out of the fjords
to cast their nets into the North Sea.
I'm like a fish caught in a net.
Of course, the light is not very good here, but to me you do not look like a fish at all.
Oh, you sound kind. Are you a friend?
It is a cardinal principle of my life to be a friend to damsels in distress.
Will you help me?
I shall be your knight in shining armor.
Oh, well, you don't have to do that. But whatever I say, you just agree with me, huh?
Oh, I see. Agree with you.
Yeah, I don't want you to act surprised at what I might have to say about you.
Well,
watch this wise old fisherman as he casts his line into the ocean.
Will you do as I ask?
I think
he's got a goose. Of course I will, my dear.
He's hooked. That fish's goose is cooked.
I beg your pardon.
Was that?
I was merely talking to the gentleman on the motion picture screen.
Oh.
I beg your pardon.
What do you wish, monsieur?
I wish to ask this young lady a few questions.
Oh, so you followed her here?
Yes.
A very ungentlemanly thing to do. I must insist that you cease annoying this young lady.
It is my duty. Permit me to introduce myself, Inspector Crispar of the French Sûreté.
Oh?
I bet that spells police.
Oh, you mean this woman is wanted by the police?
I merely wish to see her passport.
You want to know a real funny thing?
You haven't got one.
How'd you guess?
If you are an American citizen in Paris, you must have a passport.
Oh, I don't have to have one.
And why not?
Because I'm married to a French citizen.
Who?
You.
But what?
Notice how the poor fish struggles as the fisherman pulls him in.
Oh, now, Fred, you promised.
Yes, yes, I know. But for you to say that you are married to me in front of all these people.
Perhaps we'd better come out into the lobby to discuss this.
But we'll miss Bugs Bunny.
Come, please.
All right, Inspector.
And as the sun sinks behind the picturesque fishing fleet, we say farewell to picturesque Norway, home of picturesque...
Now, monsieur, you say this is your wife?
I said nothing of the kind. She said that I was her husband.
Well, if you're my husband, I must be somebody's wife. And Fred, I might just as well be yours.
His name is Fred. Well, this is the first time I've ever met a Frenchman named Fred.
Oh, well, I just call him that because he hates me. You know how we married people are.
How long have you been married?
Oh, it seems practically no time at all.
What is your real name, monsieur? May I trouble you for some identification?
Here, my card. My friends call me Michel.
I trust we shall remain friends, monsieur. If what you tell me is true and you are both French citizens, man and wife, then I humbly beg your pardon. If it is not true, we shall no doubt meet again. I'll see you later, madame.
Oh, well, Inspector.
Yes, so long.
Now, look what's happened.
Yes, I bet we missed Bugs Bunny.
Look what you've done to me. You made me a liar in front of the police.
Well, none of us is perfect.
That man was an inspector with the French Sûreté. You made him think that we were man and wife. I don't even know your name.
It's Susan. Susan McCreary. Now, do you feel better?
No. What do you think will happen when he goes into the archives and finds out I'm a bachelor?
Oh, what do you want to be a bachelor for? That's such a dull thing to be.
If I were married to you, it wouldn't be dull. I'm certain of that.
You know, that's just what my husband says.
So you have a husband.
Well, sure. Well, I got two, counting you.
Now, my dear lady, matrimony is not like collecting stamps. You cannot fill an album with watermarked husbands.
Oh, you poor man. You've been most obliging.
Yes, I think I have.
You deserve to know the truth.
The truth, yes.
I shall tell you the absolute, unvarnished truth.
Unvarnished.
Cross my heart and hope to die.
All right. Well?
I am an American. My name is Mrs. Robert McCreary, and my husband's name is Mr. Robert McCreary.
That's an excellent arrangement, but where is your passport?
My husband has it.
And where is he?
He's dead.
Dead?
Dead. Fell off a boat.
Fell off a boat?
He was pushed. It was very late at night, and we were taking one of those little ferry boats up the Seine, and Robert and I got aboard the boat. He had our passport in his pocket, and I powdered my nose, and he was gone.
Are you certain?
I heard him scream, and then there was a big splash. Robert can't swim a stroke, you know. Well, now I'm afraid the people who murdered him are following me.
Why don't you go to the police? The American consulate.
Oh, I can't. I can't tell you why, but it's impossible for me to go to the authorities now.
Oh, you mean you think you are in danger?
I'm sure of it. You're the only friend I have. Please, try to believe me, Michel.
Yes, but if I masquerade as your husband, these people may try to make you a widow again.
You are brave.
Hmm?
You are not afraid.
Oh, you're sure of that?
You're just like poor Robert.
No, we don't want to carry this resemblance too far. Now tell me, have you got money?
Oh, scads.
This is good.
Look. Here in my bag.
Shh.
Oh, it makes my arm kind of tired carrying so much weight around. Take some of this paper, will you?
No.
Go ahead. Just a few thousand francs. Go on. After all, we're supposed to be married. What's mine's yours and all that stuff. Here, take some.
Mrs. McCreary.
Oh, call me Susan.
Do you have a hotel room?
No, but I think I could get one.
Yes, with all that money, you could buy an entire hotel. Now, look. Go to the Hotel Pont Royal. The manager is a friend of mine. He will take care of you. I shall be along presently to straighten out this whole, mishmash.
Oh, but...
No buts. Do as I say. You see, in France, it is required that the wife must always obey the husband.
Well, all right. But in the United States, we have a slightly different arrangement.
What you are telling me is the truth.
I swear to you, Inspector, I never saw this woman. Until she sat down beside me in the Newsreel Theater.
Now, she is in this hotel?
Yes, come up to her room with me. Question her. You will see that I'm telling you the truth.
Room clerk, may I see your hotel register, please?
Certainement, Monsieur l'Inspecteur.
Well, there seems to be no Mrs. Robert McCreary registered here.
What?
But I find you are in Suite 7F.
Preposterous.
With your wife. Is that your handwriting?
Certainly not. Oh, this woman is carrying the masquerade too far. I assure you, Inspector, I am not her husband.
Well, let's see what she says to that. Oh, elevator. Going up.
Inspector, she has told me what really happened. You see, her husband was killed.
Oh?
And she's afraid that his murderer may seek her life.
Seventh floor, please. But why, my friend? For what motive? And could her husband fall from a ferry boat without witnesses?
Well, it was night.
Now, there is much darkness surrounding this entire matter. Oh, here we are. Come with me, Michel. Let's see, 7F.
You will see in a moment everything I say will be true. That I am as innocent an innocent victim of circumstances.
No.
Oh, Inspector, I'm so glad you're here.
I have come to inquire about this husband of yours who was presumably murdered.
Who told you that?
I did. I told the Inspector the entire story which you told me.
Oh, you Benedict Arnold!
No, my dear lady. I'm merely trying to clear up the confusion.
Inspector, do you want the truth?
It would help.
The absolute, unvarnished truth. Cross my heart and hope to die.
Well?
That's the man who murdered my husband.
I?
Uh-huh. Now we're getting somewhere.
I murdered your husband?
Pushed him off the ferry boat in that cold, wet water.
But he gave the impression you were his wife.
Yes, wasn't that clever of him?
Inspector Crispar, this woman is lying. There is not a word of truth in anything she says.
Oh, what a nasty thing to say. You're not only a murderer, you're no gentleman.
Inspector, let me...
I think we'd better hold you for questioning, Michelle.
Put me in jail.
Until we get to the bottom of this thing.
I'm an innocent bystander.
Listen to him, Inspector. I'll bet that's what they all say. Michelle? Aw, Michelle, don't be mad at me.
No. Why should I be mad at you? I like being in jail. Gives a man a feeling of security. He knows exactly where his next meal is coming from.
No hard feeling?
Now look, haven't you caused me enough trouble? Why do you tell these awful lies about me?
You know, I honestly don't know. It's just... something that comes over me in waves like seasickness. Have you ever been seasick?
Not recently.
Some idea occurs to me, you know, and the first thing I know, I'm saying it out loud as if it were the gospel truth, and people believe me.
I promise you, I shall never believe anything you say again.
Good for you, Michelle. We're going to get along great guns.
Now tell me that business about your husband falling off the ferry boat. You just made that up.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, maybe I've been going to too many movies.
Well, this may be a very funny joke for you, but for me... a jail is not an amusing place to be.
Oh, you don't have to stay here.
No?
Just walk out the door. I paid your bail, 100,000 francs.
Oh, but so much?
Well, after all, you're suspected of murder.
You are the one who accused me.
And I'm the one who bails you out. One good turn deserves another. Come on, Fred. Let's talk the whole thing over at dinner. I never tasted such a good lobster.
He must have lived a happy life.
More wine?
Well, I don't care for any, but I think the lobster's thirsty. Michelle, would you believe that all this fuss and bother could come out of losing a simple, everyday thing like a passport?
Now, how did you lose your passport? If we could find that, it might solve everything.
You want to know the absolute unvarnished truth?
Yes.
Cross my heart and
hope to God. No, please. Hmm? Do not tell me the unvarnished truth. Whenever you do, something terrible always happens to me.
You know, I've got an idea that'll fix everything just dandy.
And what is that?
Why don't I marry you?
What? Well, I may be old-fashioned, but it has always been my impression that the man asks the woman in these matters.
Well, I told you we do everything different in the States. And besides, I'm only trying to help.
And would it help our situation if you and I were actually married?
Well, it'd get me out of this passport pickle. And if you were my husband, I don't see how they could accuse you of murdering yourself. That's silly.
Well, I presume that such an arrangement would not be without its pleasant side.
Oh, think of the fun we'd have. I got lots of money.
Yes, money is nice, too. Susan, were you lying to me when you said you're Susan?
Oh, no, that's my name, Susan. Mm.
Susan.
Yes.
What would you do if I put my arm around you like this?
I don't know as I'd do anything.
And what would you say if I asked you, Susan, would you marry me?
I don't know what she'd say, but you'd sure get a piece of my mind.
Oh, Robert.
Huh? Who are you?
Nobody. Nobody at all. Just her husband, that's all.
You are a dead husband that I murdered?
Is she off on that cock and bull story again? Every time I go away on business, she says I've been murdered. Pushed off a ferry boat, I'll bet.
That's right.
Oh, she told him that in Antwerp, and the Belgian government is still dragging the river.
Robert, I hate you. I hate you with a cold, quiet hate.
That's a lie, too. She's in love with me. Honey, why did you have to be born with a tongue like a corkscrew?
Robert McCreary, I think you owe me an apology for that remark.
I think you owe this gentleman an apology for all the rigmarole you've given him.
I need something more than an apology. I'm in jail.
But I bailed him out, Robert.
With what? We're practically broke.
Oh, no, we got lots of money now. Look.
Susan, where did you get all that money? Did she steal it from you?
I never steal.
No, I simply met your wife in a newsreel theater. And when the police came to question her...
The police? Susan, what did the police want with you?
Well, do you want the absolute unvarnished...
No, give us the facts. Tell me exactly why the police wanted to question you.
Well, I was riding in the metro, you know, that subway thing.
I think she's telling the truth. When she looks you straight in the eye, you know she's lying. But when she looks a little shifty, it might be true.
Well, I was carrying my little red handbag. You know the one.
No, but go on.
Well, there was a big crowd on the subway, and they were pushing and jamming and everything. And when I got off...
You didn't have your bag.
No, I still had a bag, but it was somebody else's.
Well, tell me one thing. Was the passport in that bag?
The passport?
Because you know what I told you would happen if you lost another passport.
Oh, no. No, don't send me back to Cedar Rapids.
You're going back to Cedar Rapids in steerage if you lost our passport.
Excuse me, please.
I'm looking for Mr. Robert McCreary, alias Michel.
I'm Robert McCreary.
And I am Michel.
Oh? Then I take both of you. Come with me.
Where?
Back to jail.
What for?
The money you put up for bail...
Yes.
...was counterfeit.
Inspector Crispard, this is fantastic. How can you hold me for murder when I'm sharing the same cell with the man I'm supposed to have killed?
Sit down, Michel.
It's a travesty of justice.
You are no murderer, I know that. But I think you are a member of the Rue d'Argent.
The Rue d'Argent?
Yes.
The Street of Silver. I do not know of such a place.
Oh, do not pretend, my friend. It is not a place. It is a name of a society of counterfeiters.
But I am an honest citizen. I do not know of such things.
Then why are you associated with Mrs. McCreary?
I merely try to help her.
She and her husband are members of the Rue d'Argent, are they not?
I refuse to believe it.
The bail bond she posted was counterfeit?
Oh, she's a scatterbrained schoolgirl.
Her husband, what is his business?
I do not know.
I believe that he is number 117 Rue d'Argent. Is that true?
Look, Inspector, I know nothing of Rue d'Argent or Silver Street or counterfeiters. I only know that the young lady seemed to be in trouble. And I tried to befriend her with a, well, convenient lie.
She has no passport?
Was stolen from her in the subway.
Ah, she's a fearful liar, that one.
There, I can give you no argument.
My friend, for 6-8 years I have sought the Rue d'Argent, but they have always eluded me. It is a gigantic operation, this counterfeit ring. In 1948, in Toulon, 1 bill in 10 was printed by the Rue d'Argent. But when my men investigated, not a trace. And you, Michel, are involved in this somehow, and I will not lose the trail this time.
Must I play Dreyfus so you can be a hero?
This time they will not elude me.
Ah, every instinct I have tells me that these are not your people. The McCrary's are, well, typical honest Americans. The husband I barely know, but the girl... A little crazy, yes, but nice.
You are wrong, my friend. It is all an act. She is not even Mrs. Susan McCreary.
How do you know?
Because the real Mrs. Susan McCreary of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, is sailing on the Ile de France at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
What? You're sure of this?
It is verified by the American consulate and the French line. Her papers are in order. Her identity is beyond doubt. Your little friend from the newsreel theater is an imposter.
Well, then she's the one who should be in prison, not I.
Members of my staff have her under surveillance night and day. We are hoping that she will lead us to number 117, Rue d'Argent, or so they call him, the leader of the ring.
I think you are barking up the wrong tree, but anyway, what would you have me do?
But unless you can find yourself a rich relative to bail you out with real money, I'm afraid you must accept the hospitality of the state until this rather knotty problem is untangled.
How you doing, fellas? Everything okay?
Susan,
are you in jail, too?
Oh, don't be silly. What would they want me for? I just came down to post another bail bond.
Oh, my dear young lady, please don't try to give them that phony money twice.
This money isn't phony. This is the real thing.
Susan, where did you get it?
I sold your car.
Oh, no.
Come on, Michelle.
You mean you bailed me out, too?
Oh, you're the one that's coming out on bail. Robert's going to stay here for a spell.
Susan, is that any way for a wife to act? You sell my car to a perfect stranger to get him out of jail.
There wasn't enough for both of you. It wasn't exactly a Rolls Royce, you know.
How can you set this man free and leave me, your flesh and blood husband, languishing in prison?
Oh, it won't hurt you to languish a little. You'll be safe here.
But, madame, are you certain that you want me instead of your husband?
Well, you're going to be much more useful. You know the lingo and you won't ask many questions. Come on, Fred, let's go.
You traitor! You deceptive woman! You Delilah!
Hold your horses, Samson. You'll get your hair cut later.
One thing I must know.
Yeah, what is it, Fred?
Where did you get that counterfeit money?
Do you want the absolute unvarnished...
Now, I want the truth. You know, if a little girl cries wolf too often, she loses all her friends.
Well...
This is much more serious than you think. I must know. Where did the counterfeit money come from?
I just found it in the handbag when I got off the subway.
Oh, well then... Whoever stole your handbag with a passport in it substituted another one full of fake money. Is that what happened?
Well, you know how it is in a subway in rush hour. Somebody could steal your shoes and you wouldn't know it.
I suppose you were frightened because you thought your husband would be angry.
Oh, I lost our passport once in Copenhagen and you should have seen all the trouble we had to go through. Robert says it makes Dean Acheson very unhappy.
I dare say. Now, we must buy back your husband's car.
What with?
Your counterfeit money.
Oh, do you think that's nice?
We have no choice. We must get to Le Havre before the Ile de France sails.
Oh, thank heaven we made it.
Oh, what a trip. I think you broke your speedometer.
Hurry now, we must get there before they pull up the gangplank.
Stop! Stop! You can't go aboard! We're about to cast off.
You'll have to hold your sailing.
Impossible. The Ile de France always sails on time. At 4 o'clock sharp.
This is vital. I'm Inspector Bonivard, special investigator for the Bank of France.
Oh, Michel, you old fibber, you.
I must come aboard.
Credentials?
No time. I'll give them to you later. Now, take me to the stateroom of Mrs. Susan McCreary.
My stateroom? Don't be silly. I'm not sailing on this
Where
boat.
Where is Mrs. McCreary's stateroom?
Follow me.
Well, I just don't understand this at all. First, we drive up from Paris as if we were on the last lap of the Indianapolis Speedway. Then you come on board the ship to see me. That's ridiculous. I'm me.
This is Mrs. McCreary's stateroom.
Oh, thank you kindly.
Who is it?
A friend. To wish you bon voyage.
I cannot see anyone. I'm ill.
Oh, but this is an old friend. From number 117, Rue d'Argent.
What? Go away.
Don't bother me. Can't you see? I've been in an accident.
Oh, the poor thing. She's got her hand all bandaged.
Madame, you are Mrs. Robette McCreary.
I have my passport. I'm an American citizen.
You know this woman, Susan?
Well, I don't think so, but we sure do look alike, don't we?
Yes. Same hair, same coloring.
Please, will you go away and let me rest?
I trust you will forgive me, madame, but...
Oh, get away. Don't touch me.
Oh, Michelle, you tore off her bandage.
Look at her hand. There's nothing wrong with it. Not a scratch.
Get out of my stateroom.
This is the woman who stole your passport, Susan. You look enough alike for the picture to pass, but she put her arm in a sling so she wouldn't have to forge your signature.
Did you really steal my passport in the subway?
Please, I beg you, let me get away. Let me get out of the country. You're an American. They'll not harm you. But if I have to go back, heaven knows what'll happen.
Well, I can't let you have my passport.
Sir, are you truly from the Rue d'Argent?
Well, if I am.
For years I've been trying to break away, to live honestly and free. But they would not let me go. I'll give you all the money I've saved. Not counterfeit, the real money. If you'll just help me get away.
In case you are tempted, Michelle.
Oh, Inspector.
I will help you solve your dilemma. The answer is no.
Who is this man?
You're quite safe with me, madame. I am from the French Surete. If you will turn state's evidence, help me find all the addresses on the Rue d'Argent, I guarantee you lenient treatment. You may get as little as 5 years.
Oh, please, please, gentlemen, can't you finish your business on dry ground?
We're leaving, Captain. Come, my friends.
Let me get my bag.
Am I a free man now, Inspector?
Certainly not. You are guilty of bearing false testimony, of impersonating an officer, passing counterfeit money, and of breaking every traffic law in the statute books.
Oh, look.
Well, you sure are an old meanie. I guess Michelle solved your old case for you.
True. And in gratitude for this, I will not press charges.
Well, what about my husband?
He will go free at once.
Oh, will he be mad at me? I wouldn't be surprised if he wants a divorce.
He has the grounds.
Say, if I could get Robert to divorce me, maybe you and I could pick up right where we left off. Michelle?
You mean marriage?
Well, something like that.
Oh, must we wait for a divorce? My darling, I wish the captain could marry us right this minute.
You're pulling my leg, Michelle. You're fibbing to me.
It is the absolute, unvarnished truth. Cross my heart and hope to die.
So that is the story of the wife you never married.
The lady in question.
I like it, Michelle.
Good.
And if you let me write it, I'll give you my check for $200.
Check is good.
As good as your story.
But tell me one thing. The story is true.
You want the absolute unvarnished?
I want to know if the events you just described actually happened.
Oh, Mr. Conway, why should I lie to you? I presume that Susan and her husband are still traveling across Europe. Back and forth. Up and down.
You didn't tell me. What was McCreary's business?
No, he was a spy.
A spy?
For the state of Texas.
How can a person be a spy for the state of Texas?
That, my friend, is another story. And another $200.
Charles Boyer will soon be seen starring in Douglas Sirk's production, The First Legion. Tonight you heard Mary Jane Croft as Susan and Herbert Butterfield as Bart Conway. Also in the cast were William Conrad, Ken Peters, Kay Stewart, Lou Merrill, Rolf Sedan, and Margot Powers. Our show was directed by Nat Wolf. Tonight's script was written by Lawrence and Lee. Characters of Michelle and Bart Conway were created by Ernest Voidier and Clement Scott Gilbert. Listen again next week at the same time to Presenting Charles Boyer. Don Stanley speaking.
Three chimes mean good times on NBC. The American album of familiar music returns this Sunday over most of these NBC stations. Listen for this series of delightful Sunday evening musical programs. Cavalcade of America will be back next Tuesday, August 29th, with an exciting story from American history featuring Basil Rathbone. And remember, Dragnet will be heard 1 hour earlier starting this Thursday. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Next, exciting Big Town on NBC.